Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017. Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live on Facebook Live, Crowdcast, and YouTube. Everything is everything. And Helena, baby, how you doing? How's life treating you?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Awesome, awesome. That's what's up. So, already having some hearing sound issues, but that's okay. We'll work through it. What's going on with you? How is the meetings going? Because you are always in meetings. What's going on?
Yeah, because I'm doing this event. I'm a part of this really cool project with School for Chiapas. If anyone knows about Chiapas, Mexico, it has the EZLN, the Zapatistas. A really powerful indigenous group who has been fighting to like not have capitalism affect them and to be really independent. I highly suggest you guys to look for schoolforchiapas.org to talk about or to look at what we're doing. But anyways, my meetings are to talk about art events and fundraisers so we could do a mural for them on their school. Mm-hmm. In regards to their struggles and like political content and
even about like, you know, bridging like the similarities to like what's going on over here in the US and what's going on in Mexico.
Okay, that's what's up. Because I've noticed how involved you are community-wise, not like I said, village. I think that was one of the main reasons why I wanted her on the show. She's intelligent and she's involved. So why not? You know, like you got to get somebody that can speak that language, the same language as you, and you guys can do this together. You know, so village, there's no Slink tonight. Village Slink is a little bit under the weather, and you know, we're gonna just carry on smartly. So, for, you know, village, I've been, and Ahalana even just said it, you know, we do kind of focus on Trump a lot. And so, forgive us for that, because I do like to discuss some of the things that he's doing. He is our president. If Obama was still president or we were, you know, doing it like that, then guess what? I would still have something to say about him. But we will not tread so hard on Trump during what the Trump segment, because there's so much more going on in the world. Everything he does is just a distraction, period. So, you know, let's jump into this first segment, man. What the Trump, let's just say what needs to be said. Let's talk about it real quick and then we can move on, because what I don't want to do is beat up a dead horse. And literally everything that he does at this point, it's like a dead horse. So I don't want to continue the overdrawn conversation of talking about him, and we know pretty much the bulk of what he does is going to be screwed up. There it is.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, I do want to discuss his executive order about healthcare, that executive order. And I want to discuss it because it means a lot for different people. Some of the things I have read is, you know, like under the table wise, if you think about it, there are some people that are going that have pre-existing conditions that will not be covered under the what I like to call now Trump Care or the revision or the whatever you want to call it. They're not going to be covered if you have a pre-existing condition. There are certain things that they're just not going to cover. And that's an alarming thing because you got to think about all the people, right? Think about all the people that were able to actually get coverage because of Obamacare and their pre-existing conditions. That put a lot of people in a different bracket as far as receiving health care. And so, you know, it is what it is to a degree. I'm hoping that this bill isn't just something that's going to get signed off on automatically. I'm truly hoping that some kind of resolution can be reached because truth of the matter is, I'll say it, Obamacare was not the best thing, right? It wasn't rolled out the best. I'm liberal and smart enough to say, hey, it wasn't rolled out right. But the premise that every American should have health care is what appealed to me. And that's why I was good with it. That's the only reason why. I think everyone should have the millionaires should have the same access, or the regular people, the regular Joes, they should have access to health care that the millionaires and the billionaires have. Money should not determine your worth medically. You should be able to go and see the best doctors because you're a human being just like the millions and billionaires are. To me, you're no different. Yes, they have more money. So what? But you still, as a human being, you deserve to have the best medical care that can be provided. And that's why I was good with Obamacare. But so initially, when I sent you the topic and you did a little research on your own, what were you thinking in regards to this executive order? Like, what did you think was going to be like the final outcome of all this?
Final outcome? I figure people, the conservatives would be really happy, or Republicans or whatever they want to go by. Because a lot of people hated the Obamacare, but I did see a map, and the people who are going to be most affected are the people who were Trump states by this revision. I mean, not revision, his cut, his burning and crushing it. And I say, and I slipped up and said revision because I wish that would happen, like us revising things. I mean, that's what you do. When the creators of a car, you know, they didn't get a prototype, it didn't work. They didn't just like, screw it, we're never going to build whatever this thing is, and we're never going to be able to, you know, mobilize in a way we want to mobilize without using our feet everywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so stupid and premature to just throw everything out, you know? It's like that saying, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Maybe I'm using it wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But that's what I feel what happens. It's like, you know, we're going to have growing pains. I watched a lot of videos about, like, what it is, subsidiaries, and, like, how four times poverty gets this much, two times poverty gets this one, blah, 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 blah. And the issue as a conflict theorist, someone who sees the world in a conflict theory way as a sociologist, or going to be sociologist, I see this as just another form of control because really, if you think about it, insurance companies are privatized corporations. I mean, they're privatized. So you make money off of this. You know what I'm saying? So, and this is what I have a problem with the privatized of schools, privatized of jails, private. You have so many privatizations. So these medical, like, these are things I feel shouldn't be privatized. And of course, I'm like treading on, you know, little thin ice here because people are like, oh, she's a commie or a socialist. No. There's certain things, like, if you pay, okay, our taxes pay for roads, okay, you're a fucking socialist. You know? That's like public property. We're paying for this. We're paying for military. We're paying for the cops. You know, we're paying for fire departments. These are things that come from our tax. That's like a socialist, communist, that's something we're paying for. So why can't we pay for public? I mean, we do. Some places pay for public schools. But when you privatize certain things, this is when other things get neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you privatize medical and then pharmaceutical companies are able to rewrite medical books and like that's dangerous. These are dangerous things. So I'm as everything that happens, my big thing is, okay, what corporations are benefiting from this right now? You know? Because it's not us. And of course, you know, a lot of people who were on the Obamacare, I heard a lot of positive things, and then I heard a lot of negatives from the people who make more money.
Yes.
So that was, of course, you know, and the problem is middle class America is disappearing. And to be considered 1% here in San Diego, you have to make at least $425,000 or something to be considered 1%. You have to at least make $100,000 a year just to own a house in San Diego. And I'm talking about the city of San Diego. I'm not talking about San Diego County. I'm talking about the city of San Diego. So when you look at numbers like that, and I'm no economist whatsoever, just watching these videos about economists talking about this shit really got my head spinning. Like, this is stuff that is very hard to comprehend, and this is, you know, free market capitalism, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, I look at this in regards to how this is going to affect the people. You know, I am all on board for repealing Obamacare. And I'm on board with it because, like I said earlier, it wasn't implemented correctly. I don't think it was rolled out right. But like you said, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's the saying you were probably trying to say. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The premise is a great idea. I think it's a great premise that everyone should have health care. But am I against replacing? Yes. I'm totally against replacing it. But what I am for, and I'll say this to President Trump's credit, he wants to make it more competitive across state lines. So people, you know, like me, I'm covered by Kaiser. You know, let's say Kaiser is offering better rates for people in Alabama or whatever the case may be, right? Can Kaiser now cover them in their state? Even if there is no Kaiser, they just pay for the coverage and whatnot. I think that's a good thing. I think competition in this case is good because it helps the consumer. It helps them find the best plan that's available for them, whether the insurance company is in their state or out of state. So I'm okay with that. But like I said, completely repealing and replace Obamacare, not something that I agree with 100%. I don't agree. I don't think we need to do that. That's where I'm at with that. So any more final thoughts on this one before we discuss this last what the Trump and yeah, you got anything else on this one?
Just how I really I have a disdain for capitalism. It's not even a true capitalism. Like, it's like plutocracy. We have corporatocracy. Yeah. So this is what bothers me. Like, you know, you mentioned competitions. This is just bullshit. Like, you know, like competitive, but the healthcare, is it still good? No. Some of it really sucks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I have numerous and copious amounts of stories of people who had surgeries that they never had to have, you know? Like, for what? To make money? Because, and then, I mean, when you draw the lines, like, you know, connect the dots, is it because these doctors are in so much debt from school? Like, I mean, it's just like, this is just disgusting. It's really all about the money.
Mm-hmm. It is. At the end of the day, it's about money. I fully recognize that it's about money. I'm not going to even try to dispute that. It's money. It's greed. There's no other way to put it. It's money. It's greed. It's whatever. Right? So, at the end of the day, you know, like, I've been to Canada. I've been fortunate. And let me tell you, man, like, the bad talk about Canada and their healthcare, completely false. Completely false. The narrative that, oh, Americans or Canadians are running here for healthcare, that is a crock of shit. That is the biggest crock.
Canada I didn't know that was something people were saying.
Yes, I actually saw a hearing, and a Canadian doctor was like, no, like, I don't know where you're getting your information from, but this is absolutely false. And they were, the Canadian doctor had went on to say, hey, just to be honest with you, we're actually taking your American doctors and they're coming to Canada. So let's just take that for what it is. So that narrative that American healthcare or Canadian healthcare, all that stuff. Look, do the research yourself, Village. I promise you, you won't be shocked, for lack of a better word. So let's go ahead and just move on here. Next topic here, and this is one that I had to address. It's a couple of days old as far as what's going on, but North Korea says basically fuck off. That's basically what they're saying. Like, you know, the diplomacy is not going to work. And I honestly think that this has a lot to do, you know, you can't constantly, like, and here's the thing, President Trump has belittled Americans, and I believe a lot of Americans have just taken it. Now you're talking about another world leader who's like, no, you're not going to talk bad about me. So now, you know, we have Rex Tillerson trying to be diplomatic, and we still have the orange twiddler on Twitter, literally putting him down, calling him Little Rocket Man. We're going to bring hellfire. Like, what do you think all this talk does? This just spurns the fire. I wouldn't want to be diplomatic either if you had talked about me this bad at this point.
He's a bully.
Yeah, he's just bullying this dude. And Kim Jong-un is like, no, you're not going to bully me. That's not going to happen. So, you know, let me just throw it to you. Like, what did you think, you know, as far as diplomacy, North Korea, do you think that's really even an option anymore? Is it even possible? You know, are we slowly but surely heading to war? And here's another question.
I think a lot of people hate Americans. Go ahead.
And here's my other question. If we head to war, does that ensure that Trump gets another term? Do you think that buys him another term? Another 4 years? I think, in my opinion, I think it does.
They don't want to vote for someone new because of a war?
Yes. I think most people, most Americans will vote for the president that's already in office during wartime just to let him finish it out. Because he's already, there. That's just my thought process.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, maybe I had too much faith in us American people.
You have too much faith?
Maybe I'm having so much faith. Yeah. Maybe we can find something to impeach him on before this happens.
Right. You know, and
we're that's
and that's the bad part about all that, man. It's like, you know, you don't really know what's going to actually happen, and that's what I think I'm a little bit fearful of. You know, we're talking to North Korea like they don't got nukes.
Yeah.
That's what I think the biggest issue is for me. I'm like, it's you talking Dr. to them Strange like they Love. Don't got it. Say what now?
Dr. Strange Love. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
You should watch it. It's very relevant.
I will make sure I go and check that out and look that up. That sounds interesting. Man. That does sound interesting.
It was very relevant for the missile crisis that they had back. And the movie was made based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it's like we're having another missile crisis, but diplomacy did save us from the Cuban Missile Crisis because they were able to talk to him and be like, yo, don't do this, blah, 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 and that saved it. But I think with, I mean, come on, we already know what this guy's capable of, you know, and how he is. So I don't think he's going to take to, and I think a lot, I think, you know, he would probably have Russia on his side. I don't know.
And that's the unfortunate part, is that would kind of confirm everything, which is ironic. But anyways, it's a sad state, man. Sad thing, man. Sad way this is going down. It's
so embarrassing.
It is. And it's more embarrassing to see people that are literally like, no matter what, we're going to support him. And I'm just like, okay. I don't get where you're coming from with all this, but you know what, man? If it works for you, then it works for you. And I'll leave it at that. Because at this point, I'm tired of arguing with people about blatant disrespect for the country, blatant disrespect for everything. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on here.
Next
segment here. So Governor Jerry Brown, my governor, signed away old HIV laws. I don't support this one.
I don't support it at all.
I don't support this at all. I think this was a horrible move. I didn't, and honestly, I didn't know how you were going to feel about it, but I know my honest opinion. Like, I read up on it, and I just literally looked at it, and I'm like, there's no way, man. I believe it went from a felony to a misdemeanor now or something like that. And it's like,
yeah, something ridiculous.
Like, oh, God, man.
Then change drug laws to misdemeanor. Change drug possessions to misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. Because this is, it was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm very opinionated about this. First of all, again, we already know how I feel about my conflict theory, ideas, and how I feel like this is, again, about money, because the bullshit he said was like, oh, we have ways to help with HIV now, you know, you can, there's medicines to prolong your life, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I know quite a few people in my life that have HIV, two of them were a victim of someone who did not tell them. One was their long-term partner who went to the brig for this. I hope they went to the brig. I don't know. I think there was like in the works of it, but he was with this part. And it was so weird because they couldn't understand why this person was never deploying and, like, you know what I'm saying? So, and then another person who was dating someone who just like ghosted them and gave them HIV. Like, this is medicine that they're going to have to be on for the rest of their fucking life. This is something that they have to keep up with. This is not, okay, so yeah, we have medications that can keep them. That is an inconvenience. And some people struggle to still find partners if you have HIV. You know, I mean, is that the reason why? Is that the reason why? Because he wanted maybe HIV people to be able to have sex with people or be with people and not like mess up their sexual, like their relationships. Like, is that? I mean, I'm trying to like, I'm going for a stretch right now. But
I can't call it. I just can't call this one. I don't get the whole logic of let's decriminalize a person knowingly having HIV AIDS and not disclosing it. That's something that has to be disclosed. You know what I mean? Like, with any STD or anything like that, you have to disclose that to the person that you could be engaging in a sexual act with. You have to let them know what's going on, right? Even still, you know, a person is still supposed to protect themselves at all costs. You know, women make these guys wear rubbers, ladies wear, what do they call it? The dams. I'm not sure what they're called. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the dams.
Yeah. You know, fellas, wear your rubbers, man. It, you know, wrap up. It's for your own safety and kids if you don't want them. But besides the point, you know, when you decriminalize it, to me, I think you're going to see, I personally think you're going to see a surge in new HIV cases in California alone, which sucks because...
Which really sucks.
You know, it's such a mind-boggling thing that this is even a conversation that we're having. We're talking about HIV and AIDS. This is what has killed who knows how many people. Who knows how many. This has killed so many people.
He's saying it doesn't kill people as much anymore because we have advanced medicine. That's what he said.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Why even put it out there to be able to catch it? You know what I mean? Why decriminalize it? I get it. You kind of want to draw or remove the stigma, of this. Like, it's HIV AIDS. I get it. You kind of want to remove that. I'm all fine and dandy with that. But here's the sad part about this. If you give it to someone, then what? You just ruin their life. And now this person that has passed it on, I mean, a misdemeanor? That doesn't even compute to me. You're talking about and to me, in my eyes, that's manslaughter. You're giving somebody a marching death sentence. And I get it. There are medications out there that are prolonging life. That's giving people longer lives, making people healthy. Hell, Magic Johnson is fat. Let's be honest here, right? But at the same time, this is not something that you should just pass on or on willy-nilly, and there should be no major consequences. And that's my feelings on that. So yeah, that's all I can say.
I wish the stigma wasn't so bad, you know? Like, I mean, I do feel sorry. I mean, not sorry. I feel compassionate for those who have HIV because, you know, it must be so hard to have that and then having to disclose that with each partner and then the person not wanting to be with you because of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I've heard stories like that, like a man who received HIV through a blood transfusion and his fiance left him. And then, like, I mean, this was like in the 90s, but still, it's. And then you have, like, I remember one of my first patients with HIV. He was, like, 21 years old, and his first time he lost virginity and he got HIV. So,
oh, wow.
Of course, I want to remove the stigma from it. I guess, I don't know. It just, what bothers me is this is, I have a hard time seeing things outside of money. You know, mm-hmm. If it was like, let's say, I'm just like going for a stretch. Let's say if the medicine was free, like if you get HIV, you're covered and taken care of for life.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe it is a misdemeanor because it's like, okay, but you get free health care and you will always forever be taken care of. But that's not the case.
No.
We don't have free health care. If you get HIV, that's, I can't even, this is.
Some of those medications are super expensive. Like, let's look at Pharma Bro. Like, he was the Pharma Bro. What's his name? Skrelly, whatever his name was.
Oh yeah, Scripps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he literally marked up the HIV drug beyond anything reasonable. Like those pills were hundreds of dollars per pill. I don't know any average Americans that can give up hundreds of dollars, several hundreds of dollars per pill and survive. You know, food, adequate housing, things like that. And notice I didn't say fancy housing. I said adequate housing. You know, rent a room even. You know, like these things matter. You know, like people can't... You can't just, this is just my opinion. You just can't do stuff like this. And so.
No, you can't.
So with that, you know, I am 100% not in agreement. I do not support decriminalizing and removing these old laws. I just do not see the reason at all. There's no rhyme or reason to do this.
They need to decriminalize drugs then.
Yeah, something. You know, like it's like this is happening so quick. Like marijuana, mm-hmm. medical marijuana is, for the most part, it's coming along in its own path. But to throw in HIV and AIDS and all that stuff, that's not what I want my state to be known for, to be known as the first state to, in a sense, decriminalize passing a deadly disease on to another human being. I don't want my state to be known for that. So,
yeah,
that's just absolutely horrible. For those of you that were, and we're on YouTube right now, but for those of you that were on the Facebook Live channel, forgive me, I had to cut it because the feed was not acting correctly. So I went ahead and just cut the Facebook Live. And that was probably my fault, I think, because the Ethernet was tripping a little bit. So it is what it is. So with that in mind, let's move on here to this next topic here. Boy Scouts admitting girls into their ranks. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I truly, and you may like what I have to say. You may not like it. You may laugh. But to me, this was about money. This is strictly about money. And let me explain why. And you may laugh, but the Girl Scouts are killing the cookie game.
And they made a movie off of that.
You know, like we all know, and if you don't know, I'm sorry, guys, but Village, if you don't know, go do your research on the Boy Scouts. They are practically broke. There have been mismanagement of their funds. There's a lot of allegations of molestation and sexual misconduct going on with these troop leaders and stuff like that. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. But for me, I saw this as a money move. I really did. I saw it as a money move. They going to bring these young ladies over, and hopefully I think that could probably give them access to the cookie game, and they can go from there. Or it could have just been a gender issue. It could be, excuse me, Village. It could have been just a gender issue. It could have been people that were born women with female genitalia are like, no, we want to be part of the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like, you can't dispute that. There are transgender kids these days, and that's life. That's fact. And if they feel like, hey, they want to be part of the Boy Scouts, then so be it. But for me, this was a straight money move. So what were your thoughts when you did your research and your thoughts about this?
I mean, well, the first thing was... I was just, the first thought was transgender, male. So, but I felt like that's not letting girls in. That's just letting someone who identifies as a male to be in the ranks. Yes, the money thing, because Girl Scouts do be killing it.
Mm-hmm. Look,
but truffles. There's been so much controversy over the Boy Scouts. So maybe this is their way of like, trying to be less controversial.
I hope so.
Because of all of their scandals. So they're like, oh, look, we're letting girls in. And probably some families are like, no, you guys have so much controversy. We kind of don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it would be great. I mean, don't they have like Girls and Boy Scouts of America or something like that? Don't they have like something where it's like, what's that word called? Like just with both genders?
You know, I don't think so. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be cool if they can collaborate and be Boys and Girl Scouts. So both of them work together, you know. I do think it's great to have a space where, I do think there's always, it's nice to have, like, a safe space of being with people you identify with.
So,
I don't know. I think I'm a little conflicted with that because I feel like sometimes it's nice to be able to be in an all-women's event. just to have a camaraderie, and I believe men should have that too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but if they do, like, let's say if they did it like a Boys and Girl Scouts thing, maybe they could have a time where people who identify with boy or girl could to join that group and be able to be themselves in that group, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think this is so, one is the money thing. I do agree with that. But if I'm thinking of it of a social way, of a, like a social construction way, of a, like a social issue, I really think that it would be nice to integrate, but I also think that they should still have a space of boys and girls, like if they wanted to have their own, their own events and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I do agree with that. I didn't even look at it from that perspective. Like, you know, we look at these fraternities, and we did a show a while ago about, it's a group called the MIAKA, and that stands for Men Imitating AKAs. AKAs is a sorority, and there's a group of men, homosexual men. They basically want to be AKAs. They do all the steps, the movements, the colors, all these different things. And they were at one point, I believe, trying to join sororities. And the sororities were like, no, this is a woman's place. Like, this is for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it. You know, everyone wants to have their own space, especially if this is where you're going to just kind of let your hair hang loose and things of that nature. I get it. But in the case of the Boy Scouts, I'm definitely, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. I really would. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and figure out what is this about? What is the motivation behind all of this?
Yeah.
That's what I think I'm more intrigued about. I want to know what was this all about. And yeah, so,
definitely.
Yeah, that, and time will tell. That's all we can say. Time will tell. Any final thoughts on this before we move on?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, so this last topic here for current events, hashtag Me Too. Women that have been assaulted by men. I had to get this in the show today. I'm going to be honest with you. When that hashtag came out, the women on my timeline and that were putting that up, I literally was like, fuck. Like, I didn't know this was such an issue with so many women. I had no clue. And, Village, I'm going to share a quick story with you guys. Of course, I can't say names or anything like that. But where I work at, I had a gentleman that was sexually harassing basically one of the cleaners or custodians, beautiful woman. She would come in, she cleaned, she does her job. She would sometimes bring us food. Great woman. Everybody knew her. She came to me one day and told me what happened. And she told me, she, you know, basically her English was bad, so I kind of had to take her outside because she was a little bit frantic. And she told me she would be in the guy's cubicle and he would be rubbing on himself while she was cleaning out his cubicle and things of that nature. And so I have nieces. And so my mentality is, look, I would expect a decent human being, a decent man, to stand up for my niece if this was going down. So I took it to my boss, and I took it to her, and she was like, "Wow, she had no idea." And so everyone got involved, and I think the only thing that truly irritated me about the whole thing, the dude didn't lose his job. They just actually put him in another building. They just moved him. That was it. I'm sure there's something going on in his record.
Oh, my God. I can't even handle that.
I'm sure there's something in his record, but he wasn't fired. He was literally put in another building. And that was it. That was the end of it. I never heard anything else about it. They said, thank you for reporting it. And that was it. You know, of course, I had the the women supervisors and some of my coworkers, they heard about what I did and they were like, wow, thank you. But I think I was irritated because he just got moved to a different building. That's it.
When that happened.
You know, and I'm just like, wow, like that's horrible for her. You know, because this person is doing this, but here it is. Oh, excuse me, Village. Here it is. She's the victim. But in a sense, it's almost like he was the victim.
Yep.
And so this hashtag of Me Too, you know, like I said, I saw all the women on my timeline that put that up. And I was deeply saddened by that. I'm like, wow. You know, men, what are we doing? And I'm going to leave it at that. Angie, what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
So, I read about this Me Too hashtag and I read some responses to it. And there was this one story from a, what do they call those things where you write into like a Dear Abby or something column? And this woman was like, look, I'm having triggers with this Me Too hashtag. I, for my job, for my living, I have to be on social media. And every time I see these Me Too hashtags, I find myself like running into the bathroom and sobbing because, you know, I haven't dealt with this issue, you know, or not dealt with it, but, you know, just I'm still living through my traumas. And she asked this person, like, what do I do? Because this is something that is really disempowering to me instead of empowering. And so the person responded like, you know, I understand that we all have to like, you know, heal on our own. But, you know, this is also a space for a lot of women who are stepping out and doesn't mean you're weak or doesn't mean that you're not a brave or strong person. It's just you don't owe anyone your story. You don't owe anybody your struggles. And like me, I openly talk about my sexual trauma. Yeah. Like it's just, you know, people get shocked how easily I can talk about it. But for me, it's like I talk about it because if I easily talk about it, then that means you – like, I'm someone I want to, and I've had men and women openly talk to me about their sexual trauma. Men, especially, who have never talked about it. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's me. That's what I do. That's what I feel like that's one of my callings is talking about sexual trauma and like how to heal yourself and live with it. So it's something that, you know, I'm comfortable with talking about, but a lot of people are not, and that's okay. And so this person was like really triggered from it. And, you know, and I do hope whoever's out there who's been sexually traumatized that I hope, you know, do not feel like you're weak or not brave enough. But another thing I wanted to speak about, too, is like people were saying, I'm tired of us always looking at the victims instead of looking at the people, the predators who are doing these things. Mm-hmm. And then this hashtag started, but I didn't really look too much into it. But I think it's saying that I did it or something like that. Hashtag something where a man or somebody is like admitting to either standing by when someone was being sexually harassed or they're the ones who did it. Mm-hmm. Like owning up and taking responsibility. I wasn't ready. I know emotionally and mentally, I wasn't ready to look into this hashtag. So that's why I didn't research it. Because though I have forgiven the people who've done it to me, mm-hmm. I still fear the day I'm going to run into the guy who raped me in the military. And I don't know how I'm going to respond. And some days, it's like, I feel like I see him and I feel like this like immediate like gut reaction, like this fear that he's going to pretend that never happened because they don't. I mean, they act like it didn't happen, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
And this is someone I stayed in a relationship with because I was so scared. I didn't know what he was going to do. And he was very handsome. So no one would have believed me. And that's the thing. A lot of us victims or these survivors, we don't tell our story because no one believes us. And then they let them walk. Like you only get 6 months in jail and then you can go back to having your life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you don't get repercussions. Like one of the women in the military that I knew, she actually went through about her rape case and they insulted her, made her life miserable. And they advanced the guy to become a chief.
Oh, wow.
You know, or like that horrible, horrible story that that one of the women in the military was like killed horrifically in Afghanistan or Iraq. And it looked like a rape, like a really bad, and they called it suicide. Like, and it was a black woman, and it was just a very disturbing thing. And I was talking to Daniel about this today, he's my partner, for those who don't know. I was walking with him, and I said, something just triggered me today in the bathroom. I was thinking about, like, my learning disabilities. Like, I wanted to speak to a professional because I was diagnosed with MST, or PTSD, with ADHD because of my traumas. And I remember speaking to this white psychologist, and he lost his shit on me one time, like, violently, like, throwing stuff, like, got angry with me for some fucking reason. I don't remember this. But it's like, then the treatment that we have to endure by some asshole fucking psychologist, mm-hmm. I'm telling you what my struggles in. I am dealing with depression. I'm dealing with, and then you act like a fucking lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, like, came out of nowhere. Like, today, this is something that, like, so now I have to deal with the trauma of being raped and molested in the past. Then I have to deal with you being a fucking dick face and treating me like a like a psycho person as I'm telling you what's going on with me, like that. So we don't want to fucking deal with it, you know? And I read that a lot of men have a harder time, like Chester Bennings, I forget his name, Chester from Linkin Park. Mm-hmm. I think he was a victim of rape or molestation, and he killed himself because a lot of men really have a hard time more coping with it yeah. than women are.
Yeah. I don't know the numbers, but you know, with who I work for, I don't deal with sexual trauma cases, but a few there are times when those claims will come across my desk, and of course I have to transfer them to the right people. But just to read about, you know, because sometimes I have to kind of read into the claim a little bit to figure out what's wrong with it, and then when I see it, I'm like, wow, this is a guy that was gang raped essentially by. You know, it's crazy. You know, you don't think of, like, we don't think about men and sexual trauma. We only consider women. And in this situation, you know, I'll say it, rightfully so, but it's just crazy to read about the or to know about the amount of men that actually report it. But then you think about the amount of men that don't report and the amount of women that don't report. You have to think about all that stuff. What's that?
I didn't report my rape. I was paying $100 out of my pocket to go to a psychiatrist outside of the military.
Oh, wow.
I was so embarrassed because I always had a reputation of being a bitch and someone scary. But this guy, like, really manipulated me. And the only person I ever slept with was my ex-husband. And because a lot of people who are victims of, like, molestation or rape at a young age, they unfortunately are victims again.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't know how to, like, I guess, handle those situations. And I did. Like, this guy, I remember he kissed me and I said, no, I'm married. Please respect my space, you know, like. And then I felt guilty afterwards because he acted like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, he acted really dramatic about it. So I felt guilty and okay, we can be friends. And then he, like, lured me into his room to get something. And then he, like, did it again. And so it was like this really weird, when you're a victim of trauma for such a long time, all you do is, like, when people don't listen to you, when you say, I'm not comfortable or no, and they don't listen, you just feel weak. And I remember just freezing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretending to enjoy it because I felt like I need him to get the fuck away from me now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to just hurry up and do his business because I need to get out. And I remember as soon as it happened, I just rolled over, grabbed my clothes and ran out and went to my room and took a shower. My ex-husband called me. He said, what do you want for your anniversary? I said, I want a divorce, and hung up. I started to drink and curse the very next day. I never drank or cursed. So that's a quick, but then I started calling it an affair because I was so embarrassed. But, and then when I tried to tell somebody about it, the guy told me, don't act like you didn't want it.
Oh, yeah, and that line.
And then, and don't get me wrong, the guy was giving me, like, he was a handsome man. And yeah, I liked the flirt, but I was known to be flirtatious. But you have to understand, like, a lot of the guys who I ever flirted with never crossed their boundaries. Never. No guy out of this, my years of, like, being a flirtatious girl.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm sorry, my dog. Didn't ever cross their boundaries. I would fall asleep with guys in the bed with me. Never. Never. None of those men. And so that's what I had to start to remind myself. Like, no guy has ever crossed that boundary with me, and this was the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he bragged about raping his girlfriend.
Wow. Okay.
And she was a victim of her grandfather raping her. So these were like red flags. But I mean, this was after he raped me. So I just stuck with him because I was scared. I didn't know what he was going to do. So I just dealt with his bullshit. And then one day he told me he was raped by a guy, and I laughed in his face.
Wow.
But that was after he raped me. He said he was raped by a guy. So, I mean, this is just like, yeah, it's like heavy stuff. But I mean, for me, it's not heavy because this is something I talk about. Like, I do, you know, this is.
This is heavy for me.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit up here and float you a fucking lie. This is heavy. Okay? Like, okay. No. I need to hear these stories because this is what will help me be a better person. You have to hear this stuff. You have to hear the survivors say, this is what happened to me. You know? Because I'm like, whoa. Like, your recount of what happened is just like, I made myself okay with it. Like, it's that's just not okay. Yeah. It's just not, yeah, it's never okay.
That's the way you survive. And so I never really reported it or talked about it. And all the girls who told me who ever reported it were treated like shit. So I just didn't want to deal with it. But I really lost, like, I had to learn boundaries, like, because after that, I just became very angry and very, like, kind of predatorial in my sexual way, you know? Like, I kind of wanted, like, men to feel my wrath. And so, you know, I felt really guilty for the guys who I was just, like, come on to, like, so strong and so sorry. I'm so sorry. but that was, like, the only language I understood, and that's why I came like a little compassionate to the people who did sexual assault to me, because some of them I feel like were victims of sexual assault, like especially as a kid. So those were the ones who I was easier to forgive because they were younger and I felt that they were doing it to me because someone else did it to them. But I think like the older we get, like, I don't know, I think the society like allows men to be like that. So it's like this really gray area. Like, it's really hard to navigate because we let men be that way. So, or not so much women. So, but there is women, of course, who do sexually assault people. But what I'm saying is I feel like because this is such a common practice that it's not something we talk about, you know?
Yeah.
It's something I really never knew. I never knew really. I just felt that something was wrong every time sexual, like, I didn't know, but I knew, like, hey, I don't like being touched like that. So, but no one ever really explained to me what it was. So I think the conversation of just talking to our children young, and I wish, you know, and I wish sex wasn't so taboo, because I feel like the less sex is taboo, probably the less this will happen. Because I think this is like sexual tension, but also too, it's about power. It's not always about sex. It's about just the way we dominate. And then another thing that Dr. Strangelove like covers in the movie is the, like, how sexual tension or sex is like a domination, a form of domination. So, but yeah, this conversation is really uncomfortable for people to talk about, but also for people to hear. And just like how, you know, any issue like of classes and racism, any gender or sex talks, like, people, we don't talk about this stuff, so it's really uncomfortable. So Me Too starts that conversation.
Yes, it does.
But also the other hashtag that's happening, which eventually I'll probably have Daniel look it up and tell me what he thinks before I delve into it. Because I've healed the majority of it, but there's still stuff I haven't completely healed from, you know?
Okay.
But I mean, I've healed majority, but I'm still to the point where if I can't read about a guy or somebody admitting to it, and I'm scared to read about it, like, I think that's where I'm still... I still have to heal, because I think I don't know how I would react if I bumped into that guy. Like, I want to hear that he's repented. Like, call him out and be like, hey, because I used to tell him all the time, you raped me. And then I would feel bad for saying that. But like this time, like if I bumped into him, would I say, hey, you did rape me.
Yeah.
And I hope you're not a fucking ass. And the only reason I came to grips that he did rape me was he was going to Captain's Mass the next year for accusations of raping someone.
Mm.
And the other guy who told me about it said, oh, she was dressed inappropriately anyways.
Yeah, like, and that's such a crock of shit line. That is such a crock of shit line when guys say, oh, well, she was dressed sexy, she wanted it. Dude, I'm sorry, man. I can't explain this enough to dude. Keep your fucking hands to yourselves, fellas. You know, like, how hard is it to keep your hands to yourself? You know, I'm not going to sit up here and say I'm innocent because I've gotten drunk and done some stupid stuff. And I'll admit it. I did some drunk, stupid stuff. But me now in this frame of mind, this 36-year-old Kevin, bruh, you can't do nothing like that in front of me. Me not haul off and get you. I may not be the one that's going to whoop your ass right there if it's not that bad, but I'm not going to let it happen in front of me. That's not how I am. You know, like I said, I have nieces. I got to call you out, man. Like, you can't do stuff like that in front of me and think it's okay. So, in as a whole, you know, this hashtag MeToo, it's bringing a lot of issues to the forefront. But like you said, it's bringing the conversation up. And this is a conversation that we need to have. You know, the fact that our president, even in his past, was like, yeah, I grabbed her by the pussy, or I wanted to grab her by the pussy, and he's now the president. You know, it just lets us know that this is still a male-dominated world. You know, he got away with it. He got away with it. And it's a shitty situation. It's shitty. It's shitty for the women that have to deal with that. It's just a shitty situation. Your final thoughts before we step into the next segment?
Really quick, what really also triggered that it was a rape was I was really drunk with a guy and we were making out and everything, and it like moved to another, and I told him immediately, I was like, I don't want to have sex. And he pulled up his pants and he tucked me in bed and walked away. And that's when it finally triggered. If a drunk guy can actually like pull himself away from the act of him and I like going in, like, you know, he could have easily like just pushed, but he didn't. That's when I knew, okay, this asshole did not have any excuse, because I was fully engaged with someone who I like was okay with doing this the whole time. And then I said, I don't want to have sex, and it just stopped.
Yep. You know? And I've been drunk, and I have literally been at that point where it was like, oh, it's about to go down. And the chick, I remember the young lady, I'm just going to, whatever. I thought it was going down, and she passed out, and all I remember was literally, like, I think I was in probably like 1920. All I remember was grabbing a blanket and throwing it on top of her and just leaving. That's all I could do. I just threw a blanket over her and just left. I was like,
but that's what I'm saying. If you can think like that in the heat of the moment and with like being drunk, then whatever that guy pulled was like, you know. So guys and girls, I don't feel comfortable is also a sign meaning no.
Yes.
It doesn't mean keep on going, because that's what I said. I said, I don't feel comfortable. I didn't say no. I said, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah. And guys, that's not cue for you to try to make her comfortable and give her more alcohol or anything like that. Like, that's not where this is at. So
it's my only way of saying no without, because no never worked before.
All right, so let's move on here to some knee-jerk reaction topics here. This first knee-jerk reaction, this is one that I thought was interesting. And you didn't send this to me, and I didn't see Daniel talking about it on his Facebook wall. I didn't really hear too many people talking about this one. So I'm going to go ahead and pull this article up, and I'm going to screen share with you guys. No, that's not, that's the wrong one. I'm over here trying to give me 1 second here, guys. Here we go. This is the one I need. So this is a story here. I found it on The Intercept. I like The Intercept. There's got some great articles there. And let me go ahead and screen share with you guys here. Screen share. Okay. So the airport bomber from last week you never heard about. Let's talk about
it.
Did you hear about this?
No, I have no idea what this is.
Okay, so let me go ahead and share this.
Oh, wait, is this the REI one? The REI?
REI, what is that?
That he had an REI bag?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was an REI bag.
It's from Asheville? Yeah. I remember this, but I read it off of like an independent media source. Yeah. I read this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This whole story blew me away. And this is why it blew me away. This guy was literally going to set off a bomb in an airport. Yeah. And not only in a sense was it swept under the rug, our president didn't mention it, nothing like that. But if that would have been a brown person, particularly a person of Muslim faith, then it would have been all over the news. Fox News would have been all over it, just going ham, losing their damn minds. But because it was a white person from what I like to call Middle Earth, you know, it wasn't made to a big story. And that's what bothers me. It bothers me the hypocrisy of, well, we'll just, you know, kind of let this one go. But when a brown person does it, all of a sudden it's a big deal. You know, like we always want to take the brown person and make them the example, make them out to be the damn terrorist. When, if you look at the actual numbers, domestic terrorism is committed by anyone else. It's committed more by white males in the U.S. That is the thing that people either don't want to realize or just are like, it's whatever. And it irritated me to my soul. It irritated me because, like I said, I am not going to sit here and say Islamic terrorism. I won't say that ever, right? But if you want to continue using that, I'm going to start using Christian terrorism, right? I'm going to start using that term. I'm going to start hashtagging every time a white person commits a crime or a mass murder, I'm going to say Christian terrorism. And I'm going to make people upset, and I really don't give a damn at this point. I don't care what people think. Either you love it, you hate it, or whatever. And I'm okay with however you feel about any of this. So let me close that out here. I'm okay with how you feel about it. You don't have to like anything about it, but it's an ugly reality. And so, you know, I could blabber on and on about this. Please go ahead and give me your thoughts when you saw this story or after kind of getting into it. What did you think?
Well, yeah, I saw this story, and I believe it's the same story about how they were able to track this person down through an REI purchase. Like, they noticed the spoon was from REI, which I thought it was really cool in a way. Like, wow, they must really have, like, some people on the teams who were like, oh, do you know what the spoon is from? Let's go track it down. And then they tracked it down to REI. REI was able to find out, like, what members purchased it, because members, and they found the member. I don't know. Well, to be honest, when I read this article, I didn't think anything of a big deal. I don't know why, and I think it's because it wasn't on any other news outlet, just the outlet that I read. So I thought, well, it's not a big deal if they're not making a big deal about it. And then I thought, now that you're talking about this, I'm like, oh my God, this is how they get us. We didn't make a big deal about it, so it's not such a big deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of articles that I read that I'm like, why isn't anyone talking about this? Like, I remembered back, like, when drone strikes were happening, when President Obama allowed these drone strikes to start happening. And the person who did this investigative story, they were told that they had to put the story on the second page or something. It wasn't going to make the first page because the the news like outlet, whoever the news outlet was, they their biggest funders were the bank, who's in cahoots with the drones. So even though the drone strikes was a pretty big deal and still is something that everyone always forgets that Obama is responsible for. And I hate that when we're like, oh, he's so good. No, man, he was like killing so many people, especially the Syrians, and like the Syrian war happened because of this. But that's besides the point. That's for an educational podcast.
Yes, it is.
Wink, wink. So this is something that you have to like, why isn't this something being spoken about? So yeah, I mean, that's my knee jerk reaction, because I'm like, I can't believe I read this and didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, and so
because no one else made it a big deal.
No one.
So I was like, oh, they caught him, not a big deal. But I forgot to think, oh, if it was someone of Muslim faith, this would be the biggest deal ever.
The biggest ever, and that's what I'm trying to say. You know, it's just unfortunate that it wasn't a bigger deal, and that's what I need people to understand. I'm not trying to pick on this man or white people or Caucasian, whatever. I don't give a damn about the color of your skin. That's not who I am. I love everybody. Literally love everybody. That's it. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, I have 6 white friends. No, I love everybody, period. That's who I am. But I'm calling a spade a spade. If you cannot say domestic terrorism, right? Then we have an issue. You cannot say domestic terrorism. You can't say that. And that's what bugs me. I'm tired of people that are brown being labeled as terrorists. Not every brown person is a terrorist. Just like every Mexican person isn't a gang member. Every black person isn't a thug. Every white person isn't racist. Y'all have to realize that you cannot... If an incident involving a brown person happened, all of a sudden we wouldn't ban all Muslims. No. 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 Fuck no.
Yeah.
No.
Fuck so, no.
Excuse me, Village. All right, so let's move on to this last knee-jerk reaction topic. And Village, if I turn my camera off because I start crying, you know... That's where I'm at with this one.
I think I know which one you're posting.
I have no reason to even post it. We'll just talk about it. Me being a former service member, I understand, and Ahalana can maybe co-sign this, but I remember going through basic and I had to write my obituary in basic.
Did you do that?
Yeah. They made you kind of write your obituary. You kind of did that in basic. Yeah, we had some crazy RDCs.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. That was real for me. And so we had a Green Beret, Sergeant LeDavid Johnson, honorably served his country and gave his life for his country. And you know, Village, our president cannot, you cannot respond like that. The president, you know, I actually did shed some tears about this one, because I try to crack a lot of jokes. It's my way of dealing with my PTSD. I crack jokes because it's who I am. It hurt me to, number one, see this pregnant woman with 2 children kissing her husband's casket, and President Trump says to her, well, he knows what he signed up for. I know it hurts, though. I know it still hurts. So, how do you, how do you as another, how do you as a human, how do you respond? How do you fix your fucking mouth to say that to somebody? That, yeah. How do you fix how do you fix your mouth to say some shit like that? How do you do that? How do you do that? You know, every service member knows that when they sign that dotted line, there's a chance that you're gonna get sent back in a fucking casket. We all know that. We accepted it. We signed the dotted line anyway. And the bulk of us came home, right? You expect your president to not say nothing heinous like that. So, you know, I'm hurt by that personally. Especially when you see this woman kissed the casket. Her husband is in this casket. She's like 6 or 7 months pregnant. This baby that is in her belly will never know his father, her father. And I get it. The truth of the matter is, yes, he did know what he signed up for. But that is not something you verbalize to a widow. That is something behind closed doors that you say, or hell, you don't say it at all. You know, I'm gonna be honest. You just don't say it at all. Yeah. Some people are gonna watch this, call me a punk, a chump. Oh, Trump didn't say that. Whatever, man. Whatever. Angie, your thoughts, go ahead, because, yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, that's, of course, what I've been reading is some, like, Trump saying that that's not what I said. But the guy says some fucked up shit so many times before, it's harder to believe that he wouldn't have said something like this.
Yes. That's another thing.
Yeah. And so, and then people are like, well, when did this become so political? Like, when did president start like reaching out and telling people or like their condolences, and the example of when 500 something soldiers or service members died, Obama just sent letters. I mean, could he really have gotten to every 500 person? I mean, it just becomes like politics again. Mm-hmm. It really does. It just comes back to these politics. But I have a hard time believing that he did not say that.
Yeah, me too.
And I know it was four service members, but the one that everyone's really honing in on is the black woman and her husband, which of course my first thought is like, is this a racial thing? Because, you know, or did he say that to every other, did he say that to all the four service members? Mm-hmm. But the only article I keep on reading is that he said it to her, the pregnant wife, you know?
Yes.
So that's, of course, my other, like, thought is, like, is this because she's black? Is this because they're black? Like, how did he respond to the other service members? Have he not reached out to them? Because I know there was a lag time that he never reached out. And then he said no other. 2 weeks. Yeah, and then people are like, well, no other, or he said no other presidents have done that, but I guess one woman shared a story when Bush was there to tell her about her brother who died, and she cursed at him and told him how much she hated him and like called him a fucking whatever liar, and he held her and said he was really sorry. So I don't know. I didn't read like when this start happening. When did they start like talking to,
you know, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you on that. But to simply say, you know, no other president has done this or anything that in the third. It's just another fucking lie in his web of lies and stuff like that. And so for me, it's just like, you know what, man? You know, at this point, man, fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah. Just fuck you.
But he's still going on about the national anthem.
Right?
He's still going on.
Still going on about that. But you sitting here...
Like, you're going on about that, but you can't respect people who died? Like, you get upset that someone can't, like, stand and pledge allegiance, but you're going to be a fucking dick and say, oh, he signed up for this? Yeah, fuckface, we know he signed up for this.
Exactly.
But do you know what's... You know, but let's not get into the sociology of why a lot of us probably signed up for this, you asshole, and you're part of the fucking problem. But, it's like it's insane when people are like, oh, military, you're so lucky you get your school paid. I'm like, yeah, but some of us, some people weren't able to use that benefits because they're dead now.
Yeah, some people will never use. So was it really worth it? You know, I'm sure some of those people, their families would be like, yeah, fuck that VA loan. I'll pay for your education just to have them back. Fuck that.
Yeah. So, he's just... He's a nightmare, and because I mean I cannot believe his tweets are still about the national anthem, but he has the audacity to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You are disrespected every service member by saying that.
Yes, you have.
You know,
and you I felt that disrespected.
Is disgusting.
Yeah,
and I really ache, and that picture is so sad.
It dude, makes me so sad. Every time I see that picture, I get the chills because I'm like, fuck, that's her husband.
I know.
Your husband's in a box. Your husband is literally in a fucking box. And the president of the United States of America says, well, he knows what he signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Nope, 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 nope. And you wonder why everyone is saying, fuck you. And you have all these people that want to defend him, and that's not what he said. You know, I'm about to pull an Eminem. If you draw a line in the sand, if you come on this side, cool. If not, man, fuck off.
Yeah.
Just fuck off at this point. It's not even worth me arguing with you because you are who you are, and you're showing your true fucking colors at this point. So it is what it is, you know? Okay. Yeah. I'm done with that one. Got it off my chest. Sorry you had to deal with that, Angie.
Oh, what? What can you be sorry for?
That was, don't be sorry. That was really how I feel. I'm still a little hurt. But, you know, there's so many black men join the military, not because they want to, because...
Exactly.
Some of them just don't have another fucking way to figure out life, and that's just...
We don't, like, I mean, I'm not a black man, sorry. But
well, I mean, just people of color in general, like, so many of them just don't know another way.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys don't, you know? And that's what I'm saying, from a sociological perspective, it's very frustrating that this is our only choice, and Daniel and I even spoke about that, how at our schools, we didn't have colleges come to recruit us, we had military. I had no choice. I didn't even think college was an option for me. And it wasn't because of that story. But it's disgusting. It's like they come after the people who are in lower class and lower education areas. You know, they take advantage of us. They exploit us. They exploit our ignorance. They exploit us. It's disgusting. The military is disgusting. They're disgusting. The government's disgusting because they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Angie, I had some village idiots. I'm not in the mood to do them tonight.
Okay, I'm fine with that, love.
I'm not in the mood. I find myself needing to go and have a brew and some other stuff right now.
So, you do what you have to do.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm going to go do that. Angie, please tell people how to get a hold of you.
So you can get a hold of me on my email, dancingaurora@live.com. So D-A-N-C-I-N-G AURORA at LIVE.com or Google Plus on Halana Zayas, ANGELANAZAYAS. And yeah, that's all.
You can get a hold of me and Light My Mind at Welcome to the Village on Twitter. Slink is at Slink Grindstone. Chance is at Chance W. Brown. Chance and I do shows on Fridays now, guys. Forgive the lack of motivation right now. I'm just like a little bit drained. And I'm just like, you know what? Maybe you should just do what you need to do to go to bed. So find us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, Crowdcast. Come find us. YouTube channel. We do live shows on YouTube and Facebook Live. Google phone 619-202-1562. You can leave a voicemail or shoot us a text even. I think the text messages come through as well. Email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website's currently under construction, so I have no websites to plug, but you know, hey, I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. It's, you know, full-time job and then come home and do this. You know, everything takes time. Again, but the Fiverr page is up, guys. Fiverr, Fiverr.com. Search JOHNSOMKL 2004. It'll get a hold of myself or Chanel, and we can, you know, let's work something out, man. Let's work something out. Like that's what I need people to understand. Like, you can come to the village, and we can talk about this. We can get this branding, this business, get this thing going. So I just encourage each and every last one of you, come on over, check us out. If you're a business owner, please come check us out. Fiverr.com. Search JOHNSOMKL 2004. And let's talk some turkey. Let's talk some money. Let's figure this out. All right. Let me show you that I can help you make your brand better, make your business bigger. Angelana, thank you once again. And Village, her and I are still working out Sunday show.
What did you say?
We're still working out.
No, I'm here.
Okay. We have no video right now on you. But thank you guys for joining us. Like I always say, you could be anywhere in the world, but you choose to be here with us. I truly thank each and every last one of you. As the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Please have a great day. Bye, guys.